From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he begins a message bearing the title, Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Always Growing. The text is found in John chapter 1 and verse 50. Thou shalt see greater things than these. This is spoken to a childlike believer who was ready to accept Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel, upon one convincing piece of argument. Those who are willing to see shall see. It is because we shut our eyes that we become so sadly blind. We have seen much already. Great things and unsearchable has the Lord showed unto us, for which we praise His name. But there are greater truths in His Word, greater depths of experience, greater heights of fellowship, greater works of usefulness, greater discoveries of power and love and wisdom. These we are yet to see if we are willing to believe our Lord. The faculty of inventing false doctrine is ruinous, but power to see the truth is a blessing. Heaven shall be opened to us. The way thither shall be made clear to us in the Son of Man, and the angelic commerce which goes on between the upper and lower kingdoms shall be made more manifest to us. Let us keep our eyes open toward spiritual objects and expect to see more and more. Let us believe that our lives will not drivel down into nothing, but that we shall be always on the growing hand, seeing greater and still greater things, till we behold the great God Himself and never again lose the sight of Him.
This is my story. This is my song. From the heights of heaven's glory to the depths of earth's despair came a love song in the darkness. Came a song beyond compare, and from a humble stable, God sang His lullaby, a song of peace, a song of joy, the music of the skies. This shall be my sing it all my days. This shall be my benediction. This shall be my dying
Indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns will be dealing with verses 1 through 15 of chapter 9. Here we find the account of the Gibeonites, a Canaanite people, who, seeking to escape the fate of the other heathen inhabitants of the land, came to Joshua with a false claim that they lived in a far-off country and had traveled many days to seek refuge with the army of Israel. As Dr. Cairns will explain in his introduction to the message, these people embodied both the good and the bad, which is often part of life. They lied about their true homeland, and yet they recognized that Joshua and his people were servants of the true and living God. Also, we'll see that, as in the case of Ai, Joshua and his people failed to ask for the Lord's guidance. Dr. Cairns will seek to extract important instruction for God's people from the experience of Joshua and the Gibeonites. Now to introduce this message, Lessons for Life on Seeking for the Lord, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now we're turning this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings which were in this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet. The English word there is a very ancient word, clouted. If you came from Northern Ireland, you would know what a clout was. But it really is just patched. It's an old Anglo-Saxon word, clut. And so it simply means that they were patched. Old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." The men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey." And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. We finish the reading at verse 15. For the sake of time, the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This Bible reading shows that real life isn't easy. Real life presents many complex situations in which we face some things that are clearly good, some things that are clearly evil, and some things that are a perplexing mixture of both. We tend to want everything to be black and white, that we can very, very easily discern. There are many things that are black and white, about which there need to be no discussions, difficulties of any kind. However, there are many situations where there are things that are partly good, tinged with evil, and things that are almost entirely evil, and yet behind them there is something of a good intention. We see that in this passage of Scripture. The news of the advance of the armies of Israel into Canaan naturally alarmed the nations that were then in possession. Some of them planned a confederacy to fight against Joshua and the children of Israel. Gibeon, however, one of the royal cities, a very important place, took a very different course. The Gibeonites decided to reach an accommodation with the children of Israel, and to that end they entered upon a very elaborate deception with the intention of achieving a treaty of agreement with Joshua and with his people. Now, we must commend the Gibeonites for that. They showed great wisdom. In the first place, they refused an alliance of evil and of folly, as it was proposed to them by the other nations round about. The second, they believed the report which they had heard of the Lord concerning what he had done in Egypt and on the other side of Jordan. Though, mind you, they were very careful in keeping up their deceit that they didn't say they had heard anything about what happened to Jericho and to Ai. That would have given their game away. So they came believing the word of the Lord. They had a very laudable desire to see of their own lives and to see of the lives of their children. And it seems that they were willing to humble themselves almost to any extent before the Israelites in order to achieve that deliverance. So we must commend the Gibeonites. At the same time, we must censure them. This is where I say that many times in real life you find things that are a mixture of the commendable and the censurable. So we find we must censure them because they worked wilily. In other words, they worked with deceit and with craftiness. And their craftiness took this special form of appearing to have come from a very long distance. We have read how they overdid it. It's amazing how the Israelites didn't see through this immediately. They overdid it. They would need to have come on a mighty long journey for the wine bottles that were new to have become dried and cracked and patched during the journey. They say they had heard what happened to Sihon and Og on the other side Jordan. And yet they say that they came with these bottles just new and newly filled with wine. And yet they were all rugged and broken and patched. Their story was really overdone. Deceivers usually do that, and if you want, you can catch them out. But certainly, they came with this well-practiced story. Question really is, why on earth do they do this? They knew that they were bound to be found out because their cities were close by. Their city of Gibeon was no more than 10 miles away from Jerusalem, which was high on the list of cities that Joshua had to attack and to take. It was a very important place. So they were only 10 miles distant. They knew they were going to be found out sooner than later. Evidently, they hoped that Joshua would not renege upon a treaty which he had been duped into making. But that raises another question. If they placed such confidence that Joshua would not go back upon his treaty obligation, and let me say that that was a confidence that would have been misplaced in any other leader in the land of Canaan in that day. There is no city and no people that would have felt themselves bound by a treaty that had been built upon such deception. Evidently, they hoped that Joshua would feel himself bound. Says a lot for how they viewed the character of the leader and the people of Israel. But if they hoped with such confidence in his integrity in that way, you wonder why on earth they didn't come and something like Rahab simply throw themselves upon his mercy. It's hard to believe that they would trust the integrity and character of Joshua to such a level without recognizing that he was not a murderer, he was not someone given to Holocaust for the sake of it, and that he would indeed have heard their petition. Even more, I've got to wonder, since they had heard so much of the Lord, and they knew what had gone on the other side of Jordan, and they knew the proposal that had been made by Moses to the two kings whom he ultimately defeated in battle. It was a proposal of peace to start with. If they knew all that, you wonder why on earth they didn't throw themselves on the Lord's mercy. They certainly would have received much better treatment. But having said all that, we've got to temper our censure with understanding. These people were heathens. They were nothing else. They were the most heathen and superstitious people. They were heathens trembling at the prospect of death. And I think we could adapt the words of the man in the Savior's parable regarding the unjust steward when we would say they acted wisely in their own generation. And certainly the Lord did show mercy to them. He saved their lives. And not only so, but he made them servants in his house. Joshua made them a tabernacle, or we would more generally say temple slaves, servants. But it seems that, and I think most of the commentators agree in this, and I think that the evidence is that they would be right, it seems that that class of people who are later called, especially in the book of Ezra, the Nethinim, started here. These are the first servants given for the house of God. So the Lord certainly showed them mercy. The ones we must condemn really are Joshua and the princes. Joshua seems to have become suspicious in verse 8. He says to these people, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" So it seems that he was suspicious. Joshua was no fool. He could recognize a tall story when he heard one. And if ever he heard a tall story in his life, it was the story that these Gibeonites told him. So his suspicions were all aroused. And yet, for some reason, we read in verse 14 that the men of Israel took their victuals. Now, that doesn't mean to say that they sat down and they ate the fare these people brought. I've heard preachers say, you know, they wanted the food that these people brought. It was different from the wilderness food that they had had. That's all nonsense. These people said, all we have with us is dry and moldy bread. So obviously, if you've been used to manna, you don't want to sit down and eat dry and moldy bread. No, they actually took their victuals to prove that they were as dry and moldy as these people claimed. And then we read this very, very important statement in verse 14. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They failed to seek divine guidance at all in this matter. And that was an appalling failure. One would have thought that what had happened at Ai, when the same failure led to death and destruction, would have taught them an enduring lesson. But no, they ran straight into the same error again. And here they were, plowing forward into a foolish course of action for them. And they didn't ask of the Lord. Now, that seems incredible. You wonder, why would Joshua, especially Joshua, I mean, here's one of the giants of Old Testament history. Here's a spiritual man, a mighty man. Why on earth would Joshua and all the princes of Israel make this mistake? Why was there not one man among them who said, let's stop and go and ask counsel of the Lord? We have the Lord's high priest here. He has Urim and Thummim, these specially, divinely appointed ways of finding out the will of God. Why do we not go and ask of the Lord? It seems incredible that nobody did that. But it's only incredible until you look into your own heart. Because when we look into our own hearts, we find we do the same thing with monotonous regularity. How often do we plow on without taking time to ask counsel of the Lord? How often do we imagine, this is so plain, this is so clear, I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to spend time pondering this before God, and we just go on. And more times than enough, we make the very same mistake as Joshua and the people of Israel. That makes this a very instructive passage for us. As you look at Joshua chapter 9, you'll find it is a passage of Scripture that speaks to all of us, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. This is a chapter that is a message for sinners. It's a chapter that has a message for saints. Remember what I said at the beginning. You're going to find good things and bad things sort of intermixed here, so that there are lessons for our positive lessons for our instruction, and there are negative lessons for our instruction. There's a thread that ties the whole chapter together. It's the thought of seeking the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.